The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, here we go. We are underway here. The Radiothon. Yeah. Make some noise. We're at the Children's Hospital New Orleans, Ray and Jessica Brandt Foundation, Family Foundation, Light Up the Season Radiothon. And as I was driving here today, I was thinking and looking at the cars in front of me, somebody turned into the parking lot, thinking how comforting it is to know that we have a hospital here that can take care of the kids when we need them at the most inopportune time, right? When we as parents have the most valuable thing that we have in our lives, our children, and they're sick or something happens, they get in an accident or hurt themselves, and we need somewhere to take them where we can turn them over to expert hands, and that's what makes Children's Hospital so valuable. And as I turned in this morning at 4:30, I thought, I wonder if that family ahead of me is facing that kind of thing. We're in the main concourse, fourth annual Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. I know it's a busy holiday season, but we're asking you to kind of remember Children's Hospital New Orleans. They never stop. They never stop worrying about the kids or caring for the kids. They are here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, Mardi Gras, doesn't matter. They're here every day and every season. The skilled health care providers here, miracle workers here, really care for kids regardless of the severity of the illness or their family's ability to pay. Remember, no child is ever turned away regardless of the ability to pay. Every dollar stays local for our not-for-profit Children's Hospital. And I'm asking you to call in at 888-780-8811 or text CHNOLA, CHNOLA, to 51555. You can pay with Venmo, PayPal, or Apple Pay. And you can also go to chnola.org, chnola.org/radiothon, and pledge that way. What we're looking for this hour is 14 miracle makers, and that's just $15 a month or 50 cents a day. Or why not make it easy and just put the $180 on a credit card, be done with it. $180 ain't what it used to be. It's not, really. I mean, let's face it. That's a dinner tab for two people. But they got 43 babies in the neonatal intensive care unit right now. We're going to talk to a doctor that treats them when we come back. And he'll explain why it is so important that you help out Children's Hospital in their mission. Because I can guarantee you, if you had one of those tiny little babies in the NICU, you would want to make sure that Children's Hospital has everything they need to provide the care that that baby would need. And they do here, thankfully. And no child, again, has ever turned away. So let's get going here. Help me out. Pledge make a donation, rather, at 888-780-8811 or text CHNOLA, CHNOLA, to 51555. We're looking for 14 miracle makers this hour. That's just $15 a month, 50 cents a day, or make it easy, just make a one-time donation of $180. Let's get the phones going. We'll be back. When we return, we'll talk to a doctor in the neonatal intensive care unit, Tommy Tucker. It's the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation Light Up the Season Radiothon for Children's Hospital. It is 6:16 now on this Wednesday morning, and we're about to talk with a doctor, and he will explain why it is so important that you help out Children's Hospital. And call a number you just heard, or maybe go online if you can, to text CHNOLA, CHNOLA, to 51555 and make your contribution. Dr. Jeffrey Surkoff joins us now. He is a neonatologist at Children's Hospital, and the first hour of this radiothon is our NICU hour. And doctors, maybe you can tell us, first of all, what the NICU is?
Sure. So the NICU is the short term for neonatal intensive care unit. That's basically the unit or the place where children are transferred or cared for that are right after birth. So those babies that are micro preemies, tiniest babies up to full term babies that need intensive care right after they're delivered.
So when you say micro babies, you're talking about how small?
So some of our smallest babies may be less than a pound.
That's hard to believe. Really.
No. So like 500 grams or, you know, 1 kilo is what we look at.
I'm just trying to give the listeners an idea of size. You're talking about what, in the palm of your hand?
About the palm of your hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are some of the reasons that babies wind up in NICU?
So it's a variety of reasons. So those small babies, obviously, they're just everything's immature with them. So all organ systems are small and immature. So breathing difficulties, they may need to be on the ventilator. They may have problems with maintaining their temperatures, or they may have issues with feeding or their sugar difficulties. We can see kids that are much larger, more full-term babies can come to the NICU for other reasons, as well as some of the same reasons. So they may have breathing problems. They may have issues, though, where they may have drug withdrawals, or they may have a genetic problem. That where they need to see a specialist, or a surgical problem with their intestines, or something wrong with one of their actual vital organs, like a kidney or liver dysfunction. So we see kids for a variety of reasons.
See, let me go back to that for a second about the drug issues. And you know, you can look at drug issues however you want, if it's a medical problem, legal problem, whatever. That's not what we're here for. But when it comes to a child, you're talking about a child that is born drug dependent, right?
Correct. So, you know,
that can fit in the palm of your hand.
No, thankfully, that's more of the full term baby.
Okay.
The premature babies, certainly their mothers may have had some substance use, or they may have some opioid dependence. But most of those babies, we don't see them born addicted. I think because they're not in their mother for as long of a time as a full-term baby, we may not see some of those same symptoms that we see in the full-term baby that may be a withdrawing baby.
So you're with your team in the NICU, and you're watching these tiny babies, the sickest of the sick. The parents have handed these children to you, not literally in your hands, but I guess sometimes in your hands. What made you want to do this, and what kind of feedback do you get from the parents, and how do you handle, just as a human being, because you're a relatively young guy in your 40s, how do you handle that pressure that we as parents and the expectations and the fears and all of that, how do you handle all of that, not just with the children, but with the parents?
So it's a pretty awesome responsibility, and one that I think I initially started saying I loved pediatrics. I wanted to help the kids. And then kind of, you know, throughout your course of your training, you figure out which way you want to specialize. And I knew I liked the intensity of the intensive care unit. I love the fact of starting fresh. So I get this patient that's just been delivered. Their umbilical cord's been cut. Now it's, you know, it's all you. It's fresh. It's not some of these past problems that, you know, we may have contributed to ourselves. So that's one of the best things with neonatal intensive care, is it is you have this opportunity to really impact from the minute that they start. Dealing with the families is certainly as important as dealing with the patient, right? Like you say, those patients are given to us, but you're also dealing with the family. So just like we're starting off fresh, they're starting off fresh with their newborn. So we do really make a point to involve the parents and to try to meet their needs, involve them with our rounding, involve them with our care, encourage them to be at the bedside as much as we can, because they are just as important as the patient is.
And you, again, as parents, you're parents, you understand, and I know people have nieces and nephews, and again, I'm not being judgmental, but until you're a parent, you really don't get how valuable that is, that child, how you could love something so unconditionally. Before you leave us, because I know you're busy, what would you say to people that are on the fence right now thinking about, do I call 888-780-8811? Do I text CHNOLA to 51555? Why should they do it?
I think you mentioned it earlier. You know, Children's Hospital has made a mission to care for everyone, regardless of where they've come from. We see patients from local. We see patients from all across the state, all across the Gulf South, and we don't ask about payment or ability to provide something back to us. We just provide everything to them. Our hospital has provided housing. We provide opportunities for potential transportation needs, gas vouchers. Our social services team is awesome. So all those things obviously require the help of others to help these families when they're in the most need.
And you have 43 babies in the NICU right now. Is that an average number? Is that
That's,
above average?
We're a little bit on the high side. Yeah. There's one more coming, actually. So we've got one more on the way. So we'll be 44 by the end of the day. But no, that's actually, we have a pretty high census these days, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any lower. So the more help we get, the better we'll be able to care for them.
Dr. Jeff, I mean this from my heart. God bless y'all and the work you do. It takes a very special type of person to have the skills and talent to do it, and then to have the heart to want to do it. So God bless y'all, man. Happy holidays. Thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas
and everything else.
Thank you.
Y'all. I don't know what else to say other than what Dr. Jeff just told you. 888-780-8811 or text CHNOLA to 51555. Because, again, you never, ever know when you're going to need Children's Hospital. 622 traffic now, WWL. All right, 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's a Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. We're looking for 14 miracle makers this hour. That's $15 a month, 50 cents a day, or one-time donation of $180. We have four. Thank you. We need 10 more. Let's get it done. We just talked to Dr. Jeff from the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit. Now, we're joined by a young lady who had a child, Harris, at 22 weeks old. Good morning, Lauren Patero. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Tell me about Harris. How's he doing now? And then we'll get back to when he was 22 weeks old.
Sure. So Harris is now 19 months. He's, you know, we still go by his corrected age, which is 15 months. But He is doing, I think, you know, so much better than anyone ever expected of him. He's walking around. He's your typical boy, gets into anything and everything. From the outside, you'd have no clue what he had been through.
Hang on, Mom. You have no idea what's waiting for you down the road, but it's going to be an enjoyable journey. Tell me about how his journey started. So you're pregnant, and then what happens at 22 weeks?
Sure. So, you know, we never really found out exactly what led to Harris being born so early. I had experienced minor complications throughout my pregnancy, which had all seemingly resolved. I began experiencing some bleeding, but even after two ultrasounds, there was still no indication that anything was wrong. I was told that it could lead to preterm labor, or I could go on to have a completely normal birth despite the bleeding. That all changed when my labor started at just 21 weeks and 4 days. I had been experiencing what I assumed was Braxton Hicks for a couple of days prior to that. And I still didn't think I was in actual labor, but I decided to go and get checked out just kind of for peace of mind. We were pulling out of our neighborhood, and I looked at my husband and I said, these are real contractions. Like, I just knew it. And that was, you know, just the scariest moment of our lives, especially because...
I'm sorry, Lauren, but we're a little bit late, and I just wanted to get to Harris and what it meant for you when he was born so early and when you turned him over to the doctors that in the NICU at Children's Hospital.
Oh, I mean, it meant everything to us. You know, we went from Harris doing so well and making strides to come home, and then all of a sudden that changed overnight. His oxygen started dropping. He eventually was... re-intubated, and, you know, our doctors at our local hospital kind of got to the point where they said, you know, we think he needs a higher level of care. And so that time, this was our second time being, you know, transferred, and we requested to be sent to Children's in New Orleans because we just felt like that was where he needed to be to get the care that he needed to be able to bring him home.
Is it an overstatement to say that if not for Children's Hospital, you don't have that young man running around today?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they gave us our child, and they gave us and Harris the gift of life from, you know, the bottom of our hearts. We're just so incredibly grateful to everyone that laid hands on Harris and for them to see Harris's life as one that was worth saving. You know, there's there's a lot of doctors and hospitals that don't believe in viability at 22 weeks. And so we owe everything to the people who believed in our 22-weeker, and it's why we share his story.
Thank you, Lauren.
His life is worth
so much. Basically, I mean, you just said it. They gave him his life, and for that, you're ever grateful. And that's why everybody needs, if you can, text CHNOLA to 51555 or call 888-780-8811. Make your donations. Light up the season radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brand Family Foundation for Children's Hospital New Orleans. Quick break for news now on WWL. All right, 641, 19 before 7, we're live at the Children's Hospital Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Family Family Foundation. I'm all excited here because we got a big donation. We ring the gong when we get a $500 donation. Well, we got a $1,500 donation from Deep South Golf Car. So we're going to ring the gong one time, two times. Three times. There you go, $1,500. Thank you, Deep South Golf Cars. We're also looking for 14 Miracle Makers this hour. Starting off a little bit slow, y'all. I don't know if it's because it's Wednesday instead of Thursday, whatever, but you know the good work the Children's Hospital does, and I would ask you that if any of you have ever used Children's Hospital or needed Children's Hospital to help you when in the middle of the night maybe your child does something with gets sick or has the flu or maybe food poisoning or maybe, God forbid, hurts themselves and you've been rushing the child to Children's Hospital, you know how important it is for them to be here. But it doesn't just happen. Nothing just happens. You know I always say that. And they need your help in order to continue to provide the care that they do. No child is ever turned away regardless of their ability to pay. Every dollar stays local for our not-for-profit Children's Hospital. Every dollar goes to research, equipment, programs, and care. And Children's Hospital New Orleans treated over 580,000 kids last year. You heard us earlier talking about 43 babies in the NICU with one more on the way, a neonatal intensive care unit. The care sometimes starts at 22 weeks. A child that weighs, I forgot exactly how much Dr. Jeff said, but could fit in the palm of your hand. We're looking for 14 Miracle Makers this hour. That's $150 over the course, $180 for the year, or if you can, $15 a month, just 50 cents a day. We have six. We need eight more. 888-780-8811. 888-780-8811. That is the Train South phone line. You can always text Chinola, CHNOLA, to 51555, and you can pay with Venmo, PayPal, Apple Pay, credit card, or you can go to chinola.org/radiothon. Quick break, back in a flash. It's the Radiothon. Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Foundation on WWL. All right, 648, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is the Children's Hospital Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brand Family Foundation. We want you to donate. That's quite simply why we're here, 888-780-8811. You can text CHNOLA to 51555. We're looking for Miracle Makers. That's just $15 a month, 50 cents a day. Make a one-time donation of under $80 if you want, or $15 a month. You're not going to miss that. We're looking for 14 this hour. We have six. We need eight. We had that big $1,500 donation from Deep South Golf Cars. So if y'all own businesses and you can donate, we'll give you a little shout-out here. Maybe make a big donation to Children's Hospital. We'd certainly appreciate it. We're talking with Jacqueline Schnapp. Schnapp? I said it right? Schnapp?
Yes, you did.
Schnapp. Okay. Who is with child. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I didn't say the wrong thing by doing that.
Oh, no.
Okay. Because sometimes people make that mistake with me, and it's actually because I've had a... Anyway, tell me about your role in the NICU, the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit.
I am currently the NICU director here at Children's. I've worked here for the last 7.5 years, and I've loved every minute of it. I grew my career here. I started out as a bedside nurse for 5 years, and then I went to be a nursing supervisor here, and then I just loved the NICU so much, I just wanted to come back, and so I took on the director role.
You have a child. You're pregnant right now. You, of most people, of anybody, would know the importance of the NICU and the work that you guys do there. Well, what would you say to people listening right now about the importance of the work that you do in the NICU and how important it is that they donate?
I mean, it really is just an important cause to support. Some of our patients are just some of the sickest in the state, and we really do use, we could use the support. It really is such a great cause to give to. My own personal child was here in our PICU at one point.
Really?
Yeah, he was. And so just really supporting Chenola in general, like I love this place so much, and I really just do encourage other people to support it as well.
So you're a mom, and you said you had a child in the PICU, which is a pediatric intensive
yes.
care unit, right? What kind of care does the Children's Hospital extend to the parents as well as the children?
We really do have a lot of support for them here. Just being a freestanding children's hospital, we get a lot of patients from all over the state. So we provide housing here for them. A lot of our families are from all over the state, and so we have a video streaming service for them that we offer in the NICU, so that we have video cameras at every bedside, and they're able to watch their
really?
Babies from home. Yes, it's very helpful for a lot of our families, just because a lot of them have multiple children, and so being able to just be at home with them but also be present for their baby here is just really important for us to support them.
You got to realize at some point the awesome responsibility that we as parents turn over to you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, can it be overwhelming at times?
It definitely can be overwhelming at times. And just as a nurse, you really do take that home sometimes, and you really think about these families when you go home. But it really does make such an impact on us as well. And just being able to support them is so important to us.
Unfortunately, that does take money, and we're looking for some miracle makers this hour. We are looking for 14 at just $15 a month. 50 cents a day. Come on, everybody can afford that. We have eight. We need six more. Call right now at 888-780-8811. Make the donation and get us over the top. 14 this hour, that's all we're looking for. We're talking to Jacqueline Schnapp, who is the, tell me again your title, Jacqueline.
I am the NICU director here at Children's.
NICU director. From the heart, I guess I'm just trying to convey to people how important it is to have this kind of service available, because you never know when you're going to need it, right?
You never know. You never know. It can just, it surprises you. And honestly, it's so important to support this cause. My favorite part of being a nurse is just being able to really watch these families progress from start to finish, the baby and the family. Here at Children's, we really prioritize family-centered care, and so we really want our families to be involved in the care that happens in our NICU, and so we invite them to bedside rounds. We really just make sure that they feel supported the entire time that they're here, but I just love being able to watch them from the beginning when they come in here and they're really, really sick to whenever they leave, and just it's so special to be able to celebrate that with the team. And, you know, these families remember this for a long time, and just it is so important to be able to support this cause.
We were talking to a family earlier. The young man's name was Harris, who is now, I think she said, two. Do you remember him being in here?
I think I do, actually, yeah.
And do you stay in touch? Do you see children?
A lot of our families come back and visit. Yes, they come back to our NICU and just hang out in the waiting room and come and see the providers and the nurses and everything. It's really special.
And I got to ask you, where'd you go to school?
I went to school at Nichols.
Well, I'm at college, you know, high school. You must not be from here.
No, I am from here. I went to Grace King.
All right, so there you go. I'm going to put the Grace King challenge out there for Jessica Schnapp, who's working so hard. Call in, make a pledge if you want to Grace King, 888-780-8811, 653, 7 till 7, traffic now, WWL. Hi, we are here, hour two of the Light Up the Season Children's Hospital Radiothon, presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. I don't need to tell you the importance of Children's Hospital, and I'll tell a story of myself. As I was driving here, I was fooling around with the defroster, and I almost drove right into the back of a sod truck that was stopped on Chapultepec, and I realized at that point, accidents can happen at any time, and you never know when you're going to be rushing here or have an ambulance or even a helicopter taking your child to Children's Hospital, and you want to know that they're here to take care of that most precious thing that you have. This hour, we're looking for 10 miracle makers or even a one-time donation. I know inflation's tough. Inflation's has hit Children's Hospital as well, and it might have hit you. So if you can't do $15 a month or $180 a year, you want to make a one-time donation of $20, that's fine. But just call, please, 888-780-8811 or text CHNOLA to 51555. No child is ever turned away, regardless of ability to pay, and they are here when we need them, and we want to make sure that they stay here when we need them. We'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk about children and mental health as the Light Up the Season Radiothon for Children's Hospital continues here on WWL. At 7:15, I'm Tommy Tucker, joined by Mark Renazza. I'll tell you more about him in a second, but we're looking for 10 people to make just one-time donations this hour. If you can be a miracle maker, $15 a month, it's just 50 cents a day, rather, that'd be great. Or if you just got 20 bucks you want to donate, we'll take that too. And you can call 888-780-8811 or text CHNOLA Chinola to 51555. You can always go online to chinola.org/radiothon. Mark Renazza joins us now, Assistant Vice President of Hospital Operations over the Behavioral Health Center at Children's Hospital New Orleans. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. You got a hell of a handshake on you, and come to find out, Mark's a former linebacker at Brother Martin. So if you're a Brother Martin alum, call right now. If you're class of 06, if you're a member of the football team, class of 06 at Brother Martin, Mark, get on them, right? Give
yes,
a locker
let's
room
go.
Speech. Call and make that donation at 888-780-8811. How long have you been at Children's Hospital?
I've been at Children's Hospital for 13 years now.
Wow. Tell me how, I guess, the Behavioral Center, Health Center, tell me about it and how it's changed since you've been here.
Yes, sir. So here at Children's Hospital, we have a 70,000-square-foot behavioral health center that has 51 inpatient beds and a variety of outpatient clinics. And over the last few years, we've really taken a stance to make behavioral health one of our premier service lines at Children's Hospital. It's always been something that we do, but in 2020, we took a stand and we knew what our children needed, and we were going to be there to stand in the gap.
Talk about that, if you would, Mark, about, and I know you can't violate any patient confidences or anything like that, but about some of the behavioral and mental health issues that you deal with here at Children's Hospital and the range of services?
Yeah, so on the inpatient unit, what we see is children that are coming into emergency rooms, they're in crisis, that are having suicidal thoughts or significant depression, and they need stabilization so they can be able to return to their day-to-day life and focus on being a kid and an adolescent.
So tell me about I don't know, the pressures on kids today, the role of social media, and you talked about going back when Children's Hospital 2020, I think you said it was.
Right, 2020 we opened up the new center. Well, I don't know about you, but life's tough, and it's tough for all of us,
it
and
is.
There's a tremendous amount of stress. And when you think about how does that impact our children and our adolescents, oftentimes they don't have the coping skills. They don't know how to handle the pressure. And you throw in things like social media, and it's in front. You make one mistake, and the whole world knows about it. It significantly impacts this generation.
And the reason I brought that up is not to lambast social media or anything, but it's not – it's different than when you were growing up. It's different than when I was growing up. And it's certainly different than people that grew up in the 50s and 60s were growing up. And there are a lot more pressures exerted on kids. And like you're saying, you know, life can be difficult enough as it is. There are a lot more challenges that kids have to deal with just to navigate life.
Absolutely. I'm very fortunate that I didn't grow up in the time of the iPhone when everything was recorded and pictures were everything, everywhere. You know, we had it, it was different. And now, you know, when you add all this stress and pressure and that everything is in front of you all the time, it's hard to get away from it for these children.
So what kind of resources do you provide here at Children's Hospital for mental health for kids?
Again, we have the inpatient, outpatient services. We provide psychiatry, psychology, trauma and grief. We have our eating disorder clinic that provides a variety of services. So we have a very large continuum of care. One of the things that I'm most proud of is that we do not just focus on services in the hospital. We're now taking it into the community. So what does that look like? How do we meet kids in school? Our Thrive Kids program is treating kids in Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish, making sure they have connection with mental health professionals throughout our entire area. And that is one of the things I'm very proud about. You know, when you look at how do you change a generation, not just doing it here, we're going to do the hard work in the community.
Is there any doubt that the need is expanding?
The need is constantly expanding, and we are seeing that. I think looking back over the last few years, you know, it peaked in COVID-19, and it was really evident. And it is starting to level out a little bit, but we're still not meeting the need, and we still need help to be able to meet that need.
Tell me about dealing with parents of these children. I guess sometimes it's hard for parents to admit that their child might have a mental health issue and how important it is that they do bring the child to Children's Hospital to get treated.
Yeah, I think it's mental health stigma is everywhere. right? It's hard for us to even admit if we have a family member that has it, but then you look at your own child having issues. One of the things is we have to understand that one in five kids have a behavioral health or mental health conditions. That's a fact. That's nationwide. That's not just Louisiana. And so we all have the need to stand up and make sure that our children are having the resources that they need and acknowledging it that it is a need, just as important as your physical health.
Back in the day, you know, and I hate to even say this on the air, but back in the day, parents used to tell their kids, if you don't straighten out, I'm going to take you to the psychiatrist, right? And they would put that negative stigma, the stigma on it, and make it a negative thing, when in fact, parents need to understand that it's the same as treating a liver or a kidney or anything else, right?
Well, absolutely. If you fall and you break your bone, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the hospital. You're going to get it fixed, no questions asked. If you have depression, you need to think of it the same way. Let's fix it. Let's be there. Let's get somebody to talk to.
And certainly deal with it before it's too late, and earlier is better.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate your time. Mark Renazza, Assistant Vice President of Hospital Operations over at the Behavioral Health Center here at Children's Hospital New Orleans. We talk about mental health a lot, and I've suffered with depression. I admit it. I've been candid about it. Text the Chinola, CHNOLA, to 51555 if you can, with a one-time donation, $20, whatever you can. Please, if you can, make the sacrifice, $15 a month, $180 a year. Be a miracle maker. That's only 50 cents a day. We're looking for 10 this hour. We only have one, so y'all, you're leaving me hanging. You're leaving Mark hanging. What number were you in?
What number? 45.
45. All right. If you're number 45 when you play football, for whatever reason, text and make a donation, please. Or call 888-780-8811. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it again. Y'all have the time to call and text right now at 722 Traffic, WWL. 728, Tommy Tucker, let me acknowledge some pledges here. You got donations. Davey from Cutoff, $180. James S. from Marrero, $15 a month, another miracle maker there. Dawn L. from Norco, thank you, a $50 donation. And see, that's the point. It doesn't have to be $180 if you can't afford that, or $15 a month. Don L. from Norco, $50. Thanks again. Robert B. from Madisonville, a one-time donation of $35. So thank you for all of those. We're looking for 10 donations, 10 miracle makers this hour. We need six. We have four. And I don't have to tell you about the good work, I don't think, that Children's Hospital does here, especially if you've ever had to bring your child to Children's Hospital. I know I had to bring mine here. Golly, pain in the side. I'm trying to go through the chronological events here. Broken hand, pain in the side, another broken wrist. So the best time to donate is when you don't need Children's Hospital in New Orleans, because you never know when you will. You know, and a lot of times we go through credit card statements, we see streaming services like, well, what are we paying for that for? We don't even use it. Why don't you go ahead and cancel that and maybe become a miracle maker and put that $15 a month towards Children's Hospital. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. You want to feel better about everything going on in the world, and this is true. Do something anonymously or just give without any expectation. That is the best gift you can give to yourself, and I can't think of a better cause than Children's Hospital New Orleans. 888-780-8811. You're thinking about it, go ahead and do it. Call and make the donation or text CHNOLA to 51555. Back in a flash with more of the Light Up the Season Radiothon for Children's Hospital New Orleans, brought to you by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. 7:45, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're here in the lobby of Children's Hospital New Orleans. It's the Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. You got kids, you got grandkids, you don't need Children's Hospital. Thank God for that. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't call and make a donation, because they provide a lot of services and you never know when you're going to need them. And if you're a parent, and I would ask you again, if you've ever had to bring your child to Children's Hospital, you know the excellent care that you got here. So please call and make a donation, 888-780-8811. We're looking for 10 miracle makers this hour, one-time donations, $15 a month, $180 a year. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that. If you got $20, $50, like some of the donations we're getting. We'll take them. Mark from Mandeville, one-time donation of $50. Daniel N. from Mandeville, one-time donation of $180. Thank you for that. The Behavioral Health Center here, Children's Hospital, it's an incredible new facility. And the inpatient unit, the Autism Center, Trauma and Grief Center, Outpatient Psychology, all exist to serve kids and teens in our community that need mental and behavioral health support. And joining us now is our friend, and we've spoken to her a lot throughout the years, Dr. Jennifer Avegno. Good morning, Dr. Avegno. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, City of New Orleans Health Department Director. Tell me about, if you will, the partnership between Children's Hospital New Orleans and the New Orleans Health Department, and why is it so important?
So, you know, there's really nothing that indicates the health of a community better than the health of its children, right? If our children do not have what they need to thrive and grow, then they're going to be sick adults and we're going to be unhealthy as a community. So it's really one of our core priorities. And the Thrive Kids Partnership in particular is something that I think is really unprecedented, certainly in the city, but recognizing that mental health is just as important as physical health for the growth, development of children and for our success as a city. You know, we came together a couple of years ago to figure out how could we make mental health more accessible to every child in our school system. You know, our mental health system in America is often very fragmented. It's difficult to access care, to know where it is, to know who needs it when. And so by bringing the services to the schools, that takes a lot of that stress and anxiety out of it, and it allows us to serve children where they are for, you know, 8 hours a day most days of the year.
Dr. Avegno, I don't want to get controversial here or anything. That's the last thing I want to do, but, you know, there is a problem with juvenile. Well, no, but seriously, and I want to address it because I know you guys have taken that on when it comes to gun violence in the city and juvenile crime. A lot of that is tied to mental health, is it not?
Well, some of it is. I mean, unfortunately, some of our children grow up with intense exposure to trauma, numerous what we call adverse childhood events, and that can have a really significant effect on a young child. We know that addressing mental health is one of the core pillars of violence prevention. It's not the only thing. There's a lot of other things that need to work well in order to reduce violence. But certainly addressing mental health, particularly for those children who are growing up in very difficult circumstances, exposed to repeated trauma or repeated violence, the earlier you can intervene in that, the better the outcome for that child, that family, and ultimately the decrease in community violence you'll see.
And you're a physician. I'm looking at it from a more practical return on investment. If people don't want to look at it from doing it for the right reason, then if for no other reason than the financial reason, early intervention is the most important thing you can do, right?
Oh, absolutely. There is no better spent dollar than a dollar spent in the life of a young child, because it just sets them up on a path for success rather than one of failure. So, you know, and I say this as a professional, but also as a mom, right? When you're raising your own kids, you know how much work and how much support and resources you need just to give them what they need to thrive. And, you know, if every family doesn't have that, then we pay for it later. And so whatever we can do to, in a pretty, as you said, cost-effective way, you know, this program is in all of the schools. It's the city's commitment to doing it. But for the number of children that it has the capacity to serve, it's really not that expensive of a program, but it allows for some really, really deep interventions and also some pretty, easy referrals that stop a problem from getting worse, right? If a kid is acting out and that's not intervened on, that can have lifetime consequences. But if you can get to that kid early and find, well, they're acting out because they can't see the board because they need glasses, you have just changed the trajectory of that child's life and that that family's life as well. So that's one of the goals of this program.
And it's easy to be old school, but I would just say that, you know, at my age, I'm still trying to figure it out. Dr. Evegno, I'm guessing you're still trying to figure it out. So imagine being being 8 or 9 right. or 10 in the worst of circumstances trying to figure it out. That's not an easy thing at all. Quickly, a little bit about Thrive Kids for the next 10 years in New Orleans Public Schools and the city's commitment to that. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's really exciting. It's very difficult for a lot of programs that we know work to have a dedicated, sustained investment. You know, so many times we're relying on federal grants or sort of the whims of a budget, but making a 10-year commitment to all of our kids, to providing mental health services, not only allows that program to sustain itself, but it raises the possibility that we can leverage that money to get additional money and expand it so that, you know, right now Thrive is deeply in 20 schools. It's available to all kids in all schools, but there's really deep interventions in 20 schools. With that 10-year commitment and hopefully the ability to leverage more money on top of that, we could be deeply in maybe twice that number of schools or really just expand the reach. So I think it's a tremendous sign that the city understands that investing in our children's mental health is one of the best things we can do for the long term.
Thank you, Dr. Evegno. Appreciate your time. 888-780-8811. Call. Make that donation now, please. 752 8 till 8. Traffic now, WWL. At 7:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, a Children's Hospital Radiothon continues. Light up the season Radiothon. If you can, 888-780-8811, make a donation. Quickly to Dr. Megan Campbell, who is a licensed clinical psychiatrist. She provides mental health care for kids and teens every day at Children's Hospital. Doc, tell me, what do you do and what kind of support do you provide for the patients and the families?
I am a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist, and I work along with a team of excellent clinical psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, nurse practitioners here at Children's Hospital, providing assessments, diagnostic, evaluations, and treatment for kids of all ages.
And we're a little bit pressed for time. I want to get to the two new programs, the TAG Center and the Eating and Feeding Disorders Clinic.
Those are really special. We're really proud of opening those because they represent an area that's extremely underserved all over the Gulf South. Innovative programs, programs that reach out to kids who really have very little care all over the entire Gulf South. And we are standing in the gap here at Children's Hospital to provide care to these kids.
So when it comes to the TAG Center, what does that deal with?
Trauma and grief.
Okay. For, I guess, kids that have lost, been...
Exactly. So it specializes in and targets kids who are suffering from bereavement, grief, trauma, which we know affects so many of our New Orleans kids disproportionately to the rest of the country.
I'm sorry we're so pressed for time. God bless you and the work you do. 20 seconds as a mom, what would you suggest to people to do? Why should they call and donate?
Pay attention to mental health. It matters, and it matters forever. And supporting Children's Hospital right now will help support the community of New Orleans.
You killed it, Doc. Thank you. You did a great job. Dr. Megan Campbell. We'll be back. 888-780-8811. Tommy Tucker here. Our goal is 12 Miracle Makers and 12 donations this hour. If you can, $15 a month, you call 888-780-8811. We have two. We need 10. If you have a child that's ever come to Children's Hospital, you know what's waiting for him here, and you know how important that is. If you've ever taken a drive over, you know how important it is to have them here waiting on your child, that most precious thing that you have. Speaking of which, Jamie Toubray joins us now, who is a member of the Patient Family Advisory Council at Children's Hospital. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I hear you got two kids who both have had health issues that have been treated. What happened with them?
We do. So we have a 12-year-old son, John Robert, and a 9-year-old daughter, Annie. And Annie was diagnosed with tetralogy of Fallot, which is a heart condition, at birth. And 3 weeks later, our son was diagnosed at the age of almost three with pre-B ALL, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Mm. So they were diagnosed 3 weeks apart, and we came to Children's Hospital
three weeks apart.
We had two life-threatening conditions for our children, but we came to Children's Hospital, and our daughter was treated here by a cardiologist, and our son became part of the hematology-oncology family here at Children's Hospital. They're both healthy today. We went through many years of chemotherapy treatments for our son. He got treated for 3.5 years with chemotherapy and a lot of different medications we had to force him to take at that time. But they're both well now. He is doing good, and our daughter had open heart surgery at the age of 3 months. So we had our son going through treatments for cancer and our daughter having open heart surgery. And again, it was 3 weeks apart that they were diagnosed, and she was 3 months when we had her surgery. So we had a lot going on, and this place helped us tremendously. They were a tremendous support system. They are part of our family now, which is why we still remain actively involved today.
For people that are listening right now and hear this story, and if there was any doubt in your mind as to why you should call and make a donation at 888-780-8811. Jamie, let me take you back to before you found out your kids were sick. You had no idea what was waiting for you or them, did you?
No, we had no idea. Nope, it all came at one time. So, you know, I remember the first day we came in, we got a call that our son had neuroblast in his blood work, and we quickly found out that meant cancer cells. We prayed for the best type of cancer. I mean, that might sound unusual to some people, but, you know, and luckily we got a very treatable cancer. However, while you're here and you're staying in this very humbling institution, you know, we realized that we were blessed. We were blessed to have two children that were sick, that had treatable conditions, and to have, again, the support system surrounding us at Children's Hospital. There are many families here that, you know, are not as blessed with the diagnoses that we have for our children. You know, there are children that stay here that are on the hematology-oncology floor for 30 days, and their parents have to work. We were lucky enough to where, you know, I was actually on maternity leave for our daughter when our son got diagnosed, and she got diagnosed. So I was able to stay in the room with my son and have my daughter come visit, you know, for that first 30 days we were here. And some parents can't do that. They have to work. So, you know, that's why Children's Hospital is so important, because they support everybody. And that's why we need to help with this radiothon today.
And I just wanted to take you back to that time, because you never know. And I've had my kid here a couple of different times with a brokenness or pains in the side for that. And it's just the most precious thing that you have. And it is so comforting to know that there is a hospital here that tends to their needs and also to the parents' needs. A final word for people that are on the fence about maybe donating or not?
You know, there are so many things. So being involved in the Patients Family Advisory Council, it started about 6 years ago, and I've been involved with it since the inception of it, creating bylaws and just looking at how we can advise Children's Hospital Administration for things that the families really need here at the hospital. One of the things that we did was this beautiful facility that we have. The Patients Family Advisory Council would meet with the architects, and we'd meet with sometimes with the construction crew, and we would give them advice as to things that they could do around the hospital to make it more accommodating for children with special needs. You know, there are a lot of children with autism that come here to be served, and we especially were involved in that, creating a room that did not have the bright lights and wasn't overstimulating for those kids. So there's plenty that we do. And we also round as PFAC members in the hospital, and we meet with other families that are currently here being treated. And we ask them their thoughts. You know, what are things that we do that they do well, the staff? What are things that we can improve upon? And they really listen to us when we give them this feedback. So, you know, and the money that's coming from today from the radiothon, I mean, there are so many things. The facility itself, what we go do out in the community. They have Thrive Kids NOLA. They go educate the schools. So it's just so many ways that the money being donated today can be spent.
God bless you and what you're doing.
Thank
here
you
and your
so
family.
Much.
888-780-8811, 823 Traffic, WWL. I mean, Tucker, WWL, it's the Children's Hospital Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation, 888-780-8811. We got five donations, need seven more for this hour. Lou Fragoso joins us, Children's Hospital President and CEO. Good to see you again, Lou. What kind of year has it been for Children's Hospital?
Tommy, well, it's great to be here with you. Thank you for all your support. It's been another amazing year. You know, as everybody knows, what we do is help kids. And you know, when you think about some of the things that have happened new this year that have just really, I think, impacted our community and our kids, there's two that really come to mind. We take care of the most kids that have sickle cell here. It's a horrible disease. It's incredibly painful. Kids that have that will sometimes have up to 25 admissions into the hospital. Mm. But what's amazing about what happened this year, truly medical history, and we've been a part of it, we are now one of a handful of children's hospitals in the country and the only one in Louisiana that has a cure for sickle cell.
Say that again.
That has a cure for sickle cell, a disease as old as time itself, mm-hmm. and now we have curative gene therapy that we have access to that can eliminate all of these admissions for kids and literally cure them of this horrible disease.
And record numbers of kids this year treated, right, in general?
Absolutely. If you think about what we've done this year, 580,000 kids will have treated this year alone. We're now across 180 schools in Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish, helping 100,000 students with a focus on behavioral health. Truly a banner year in terms of the number of kids we've helped, and we can't ever stop.
So as you treat more kids, the cost of that goes up, I would presume?
It does, but that's what we're here. We say yes to every child, regardless of their ability to pay. It's what we've been doing for 70 years. But we can't do any of this without the support of the community.
Tell me about the commitment to the community and how important support is, if you would.
Yeah, so one of the things that really differentiates us as a children's hospital is the things that we do outside the community. We have to take the care and compassion that we provide here and take it out in the community if we're truly going to help change the health of a community. So those are things like our Thrive Kids program, which is across 180 schools with a focus on behavioral health. It's our new Morgan Ray Center for Hope, where we take care of kids that have been abused and human trafficked. It's our trauma center. We're the only pediatric trauma center in New Orleans. It's our trauma and grief center. We are one of only two in the country, and one of them is right here in your children's hospital. And so all of that we do for the community. We do it outside the four walls of this hospital because that's how you help change the health of a community, the health of a generation.
You know, I always say, Lou, nothing just happens. Whether you're setting up chairs at a PTA meeting or whatever it is, nothing just happens. And along those lines, nothing just happens here at Children's Hospital. And unfortunately, it costs a lot of money, and it is a non-for-profit hospital. So how important is it that people call right now and make a donation?
Tommy, you said it perfectly. If you think about everything I just described, all those programs out in the community, that's $36 million we're essentially giving to the community, whether it's in free care or in these community programs, and we can't do any of that without the support of our community. So we need those donations to make sure these programs stay sustainable, that they stay ongoing, because The health disparities in our community are real, and we are the ones fighting those to make sure that we can mitigate those and eliminate those, and we can't do it without the support of the community.
Man, God bless y'all and the work you do. You know, I think the world of you and the work y'all do, and the jackets that Lou wears are just amazing. It's like a red and gold and just an ensemble that you wouldn't believe. Radio cannot describe it. Thank you, sir.
Tommy, thank
pleasure
you, guys. Appreciate you. Happy holidays.
We'll take a break. It's the Radiothon for Children's Hospital, 888-780-8811. Call now. Make a donation, please. We'll be back in a flash right now, WWL First News. A quick break here from the Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. 194 kids right now being treated in Children's Hospital, and I'm not trying to scare you or threaten you or anything, but you never can tell. Might be 195, 196, might be one of yours or two of yours, or who knows. And you want to make sure the Children's Hospital is here. It's a not-for-profit hospital and that they have the resources that they need. We come to you once a year. Now's your time to make your donation, 888-780-8811. We're looking for 12 donors this hour. We have seven. We need five more. If you can, $15 a month would be nice. That's a miracle maker. Comes out to $180 a year, only 50 cents a day. If you can just do $20 or $50, every dollar stays local for this not-for-profit children's hospital. And I don't think there's anything that'll make you feel better about everything in the world than doing something for somebody else. Call the number, 888-780, text 888-780-8811, or text Chinola, C-H-N-O-L-A, to 51555. Back in a flash on WWL. All right, we're back. It's the Children's Hospital Radiothon. Todd Smith joins us now, board chair of Children's Hospital in New Orleans. Tell me what it means, Todd, to you personally, now that we're back, to see, I guess, children's providing more expert care than ever before.
When you talk about the number of children that this hospital serves and the needs that are in the community, it really makes you feel good to be a part of it.
Tell me about the investments that Children's has made to continue to provide that care.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, Children's is kind of the beacon for the Gulf South in terms of where children can come. People can bring their young folks in terms of treating their health needs. It's such an important part of what we do and who we are. Those investments, you know, as advancements in medical science and technology take place, we have to keep pace because we have to be able to provide that care and service to the folks who live within our region. That's extremely important to us. And, you know, sometimes things are cliches because they're real. There's no mission without margin. So the need to generate revenue and to create an opportunity to treat all children, regardless of their ability to pay, becomes extremely important. And that's why, you know, we sit here today to talk to the community to let them know that this is a place where you can bring your children, and regardless of your ability to pay, they are going to get quality health care.
It would be nice, and Todd and I were talking, you know, off the air about some corporate stuff and this and that and the other thing, and it would be nice if money wasn't involved in this, but unfortunately it is.
Yes, it is. You know, and it's one of those things that it's a reality of life. And just like this hospital needs money, families are faced with, you know, a situation in which the economy makes it more difficult for them to meet their daily needs. And when I look at a community like New Orleans and the surrounding area, one of the most important things we can do is to help create a healthy environment for young people. Young, healthy children grow into prosperous and healthy adults. And that's what we do. That's why we sit here. And so it's really important that, you know, we are able to fund the research and the technology in order to provide that care so that families aren't faced with the need to have to leave the area when they find themselves in a situation in which their child needs quality care.
And I mentioned it before, and I don't know where we are with the clock, but the hell with it, Todd. I'm just going to do what I want because I can. But it's terrible that it does come down to money. But if you are going to look at it, not from doing what's right from the heart standpoint, from the mind and wallet thing, it's the most, I guess, economically wise thing you can do when it comes to, you know where I'm going with that. I see you nodding your head. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, you can do well by doing good. And so it's important that young people and children and their families don't have to worry about the expense of going someplace else and having to worry about lodging and things like that, or worrying about their other kids, how they're going to take care of them. And, you know, it's intuitively, if you don't see it, as you said, Tommy, from the heart, it's actually a business decision in terms of our community's ability to grow and to be prosperous long term. Depends on our ability to treat those within our communities that have less than some others.
If you're not going to look at it as anything else, look at it as an investment in the future of the community, which is what it is, really.
That's
all right,
exactly.
We need three more donors. We have 9-888-780-8811, 780-8811, or you can text Chinola, chinola.org. No, wait, text Chinola, C-H-N-O-L-A, to 51555. Todd Smith, thank you. Pleasure as always, sir. Taking a break now, WWL. We are into the heart hour of the Light Up the Season Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brand Family Foundation here at Children's Hospital. We've been saying it all morning, but they have 194 kids in a hospital right now. And if you're a parent listening today and you just dropped off your kid at school, and I'm not trying to frighten you or anything, I'm just telling you the truth, your kid could wind up being number 195 or 196, 197, because I've been there and done that, where I got the call from school with either the pain in the side or the broken this or that, where I had to pick up and bring to Children's Hospital. And you never know when you're going to need them. So there has never been a better time to give than now. It's never been easier to donate. You just have to call 888-780-8811. Or text CHNOLA to 51555, and you can pay with Venmo, PayPal, Apple Pay, or credit card. No child is ever turned away, regardless of ability to pay, and every dollar stays local for our not-for-profit Children's Hospital. And you heard Todd earlier, the chairman of the board, who's also the head of WWL-TV, talking about how, really, if you can look at it from an investment standpoint, it's the best investment you can make in a community, because a healthy juvenile community, a healthy young person community is the best investment you can make. We're looking for 20 this hour. We have three Miracle Makers, $15 a month. That's only 50 cents a day, a one-time donation of $180 if you like, or any one-time donation, $20, $50, whatever you can do, we would appreciate. It is the heart hour of the Radiothon. We're going to talk about Children's Hospital's world-class heart center. And the heart care here is so specialized. It's a signature service line. It draws kids and families from all over the state and the Gulf South for this expert care. Because you're talking about Children's Hospital right now has eight babies and children in the cardiac intensive care unit. Now, the thought of a surgeon operating on somebody's heart in and of itself is terrifying. But can you imagine on a little bitty baby, the technique, the skill that's involved, and the expertise that's involved, and how important it is that we have a hospital here that can deal with those kind of things. At Children's Hospital, most of the heart conditions that the surgeons, doctors, and nurses treat are congenital heart defects, or CHDs. That means heart defects that babies are born with. But because the doctors and surgeons at Children's Hospital New Orleans are the experts in this, they follow a lot of patients into adulthood. Hospitals dedicated to the care of all kids and only kids, but the incredible work these doctors do with adult CHD who have been living with these heart defects from birth can go on for this level of expert care. So with that in mind, let me join Kelly Ursary, who joins us now, who has an interesting story about her daughter, Sophia, and a heartwarming story, pardon the pun. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for taking the time. Tell me about your daughter, Sophia, about, first of all, how is she now and what brought her to Children's Hospital?
So my daughter, when she was born, we were expecting just a normal delivery. Everything, you know, was supposed to be great. And after she was born, we found out that she had multiple congenital heart defects as well as some other differences. And so she was immediately transported to Children's Hospital, where she was cared for by the doctors. And she had her first open heart surgery when she was 12 days old. She had her second one when she was 8 months old. And she had her third and fourth open heart surgery when she was 4 years old. And today, Sophia is 18 years old and thriving and living a normal life. And 2 weeks before she started college, she had to have another heart procedure. I call it a tune-up. And she was able to start college on time and ready to go. So, it's, you know, with the thanks of the doctors and the nurses and the staff at Children's Hospital, that Sophia's alive and thriving and living a normal life. So, we're very appreciative.
When was her first surgery?
She was 12 days old.
And I'm going back, Kelly, to when I was a parent, and I'm just trying to think what would have gone through my mind, because you worry enough as it is, right? What is going through your mind, if you can take us back to then? This baby's 12 days old, and all of a sudden she's going into cardiac surgery. Tell me about what was going through your mind and the treatment and that not only she received but the family received.
So it was terrifying to hear that, you know, that there was something wrong with your child. And then Sophia departed the hospital before I did. So she arrived at Children's Hospital. I was still in the hospital myself. And so I basically just had to put all my faith in everyone that was at the hospital caring for her. So as a first-time parent, it was terrifying. You know, I'd just given birth, not really knowing what I was doing as a parent in general, and then just having to put my faith in strangers that I didn't know. And then once I was released and I got to Children's Hospital, she was in the NICU, and she was happy and, you know, smiling, and just the nurses and doctors were wonderful, and I just felt such relief knowing that, you know, I was not there, and she was so well taken care of. So, you know, every day it was kind of, you know, it was, Sophie was born right after Katrina, and so there were a lot of, you know, babies that were waiting to have surgery, and you kind of, you think that you're going to surgery the next day, and then there's another baby that is, you know, more critical and, you know, may go to surgery first. And so, you know, every day it's like, okay, well, today the day, tomorrow the day. And they tell you before you have surgery that it's going to, you can't really hold the babies right after they have surgery. So just knowing that every day holding your baby, it might be the last time that you hold them, you know, for a little while until they heal, you know, it's a terrifying situation. But it was comforting to know that the support and the education that the doctors and the staff were giving me, I knew that we would be able to make it through because I would know how to take care of her. And that's exactly, you know, what happened. And, you know, it's scary and terrifying, and you just, you know, wonder and hope that everything's going to be okay, and you just put your faith into people that, you know, you don't expect it to happen, so you're not prepared. And I think that that was the scariest thing, is not only did we have all these new diagnoses, but now I haven't had time to look into this. I don't know exactly what this means, you know, long term, what is this going to mean? And, you know, I owe everything to the doctors and the staff at Children's Hospital, because not only did they save Sophia's life, but they helped educate me and teach me how to care for Sophia, and she's thriving because of that.
Tell me a little bit about Sophia. I don't want you to violate her confidence or anything, but what is she like? What is she into? How old is she now?
Sophia's 18. She loves to dance. She loves Mamma Mia and plays. She is at her first semester at Nicholls State University and just loving life. She is a member of FIMU, which their philanthropy is Children's Hospital, so it's something that's near and dear to her heart. And she's living life like a normal 18-year-old.
Did you say Mamma Mia, she's in a theater major or not?
She's in the theater, yeah. She's in the theater, and Mamma Mia has always been her favorite. At the time, it was her favorite movie. And so throughout her stay at the Children's Hospital, we always had to have the Mamma Mia DVD, and everything had to be green.
Tell me about your work with the Parents Family Advisory Council. What is the Patient Family Advisory Council?
Yes. So the PFAC is what it's also known as, is a committee that was formed with parents and hospital staff, and it allows the hospitals to understand from a parent perspective things that are going well, things that need to be improved, you know, circumstances that, or, you know, situations that come up that, you know, parents are finding difficult, or, you know, things that can be improved upon. And it's from people who are actually in it and can give you real time suggestions and advice and things like that. So it's been a huge improvement to Children's Hospital, because ultimately it's the families who are in this throes of everything and are affected by what's going on with their loved ones.
You know, I would like to, if Kelly, if you can, just talk to moms for a minute and appeal to them if they're on the fence or thinking about calling in and making a donation. Just mom to mom, since it is the heart hour, easy for me to say, heart to heart. Talk to them about why it's important that they call in and make a donation, please.
It is extremely important for you to make any type of donation. There's no donation that's too small. Never in a million years did I think that I would ever need the life-saving technology and wisdom from the doctors and the nurses at Children's Hospital. You don't give birth to a child thinking, you know, one day I'm going to need Children's Hospital, but we are so incredibly lucky to have Children's Hospital in our own backyard, right here locally. There are so many people who have to travel from, you know, out of state in northern Louisiana, and not only are they here taking care of their family, but they're alone. And so we're incredibly lucky to have, you know, the technology and the experienced doctors and nurses to care for our loved ones. And you know, I always say that you never know at what point you're going to need Children's Hospital. And regardless, Children's Hospital will be there for you and your family. Like I said, I never in a million years could I have ever imagined that Children's Hospital would be our second home. But I could not be more thankful that not only is it our second home, but it was so close to our home that I was able to be supported by friends and family here locally. Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit, so everything that happens at Children's Hospital is from the funds that are raised, and it stays here locally. So no donation is too small. Anything you can give is always appreciated.
Thank you, Kelly. God bless y'all. And I'd tell your daughter to break a leg, but she might wind up here at Children's Hospital again. And we don't want that. Thanks a lot, okay?
That's right.
God bless y'all. All right. You do. 888-780-8811. Make that donation right now. We're looking for 20 this heart hour. We have four. We need 16. I need somebody. Can you get that young lady over there, that young lady sitting there in the orange chair, to come over? Because I see a donation here from Folsom Marie of $500, and that means it's time to ring the gong. So if that young lady, a little bitty young lady here in a red bow in her hair and a pink jacket, see if she can bang that gong for us. Give it a big old gong. Hit it. There you go. Congratulations. $500 from Marie L. We have four this hour. We need 16 more. Anything you can donate, please. 888-780-8811. You can text CHNOLA to 51555. This is the Children's Hospital Radiothon presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. Back in a flash, WWL. Getting ready to talk to Dr.
My teacher is good now.
Dr. Gajewski, Program Director of the Pediatric Cardiology Fellowship Program at the Children's Hospital New Orleans, Dr. Kelly Gajewski. But a patient was walking by and wanted to greet her, so I said, come on over. And he likes to hug, huh?
He loves hugs.
Well, you save my heart, I'd be hugging you too, I'll tell you that. As you listen to what Dr. Gajewski has to say, I will remind you, if you're moved by anything she has to say or inclined to donate, please call 888-780-8811. That's the donation line, or you can text Chinola, CHNOLA, to 51555. We're looking for 20 miracle makers this hour. That's one-time donations of $180 or $15 a month or 50 cents a day or whatever you can donate. $20, got some $50 donations. My friend Jody from Cajun Queen Tours donated $180. Thanks for that. Kathy from River Ridge, $100. Thank you for that, a one-time donation. So Dr. Gajewski, Program Director of the Pediatric Cardiology Fellowship Program at Children's Hospital, tell me about your role here and the Heart Center.
I actually wear several hats, so the Fellowship Program Director is one of the hats that I wear, and that's basically being in charge of training pediatricians to become pediatric cardiologists. So our next generation of cardiologists doing what I do now. In addition, I take care of our cardiology patients in general, and then I have a specialty in electrophysiology, which is heart rhythm disorders, and so I do that. In addition, I'm now associate medical director for our heart center, and so taking on a little bit of a leadership role there.
So you tried to get into radio, couldn't make it.
Exactly.
That's why you decided to go to that very advanced scientific field. Let's talk seriously about the Heart Center at Children's Hospital, because as you say that, I am just astounded at your level of ability, your level of knowledge, and then to think that you consider, instruct and discern who becomes the next generation of cardiologists just blows my mind.
It's a rewarding position. It's important. At some point, even though it doesn't seem like it, I'll have to retire, and we will have to raise that next generation of doctors. So it's a very rewarding position to be in.
Tell me about the Heart Center and some of the patients that you see. Not any confidentiality violations, but just in general.
So we see patients from fetal life on and into well into adulthood. So actually your last patient's mom who was on that I heard is one of my patients. She's now in college. And so one of the most rewarding parts of my job is that I get to see kids grow up. I've been here for 15 years. It's going to be my 15th anniversary next month. And so in the course of time, I've been invited to weddings. I've seen kids graduate high school and college. I've had so many different rewarding experiences just watching kids grow up. That's my favorite part of the job.
And while it's rewarding to you because you get to see it, I would encourage people to donate, because even though they may not see, and it was a different Kelly that we spoke to just now, whose daughter Sophia is now at Nichols State and a theater major, although you get to see it, by donating, people can actually be a part of that story of that young lady that you, if my math is correct here, you started treating when she was three and is now a theater major at Nichols. So you watch that person matriculate through their life. But sometimes some of the best giving that you can do is anonymously, or where the good gets done and you don't see it. And that's what people can do by donating, right? Because they can be part of that same kind of story.
Yes, absolutely. We need all the help we can get to continue to improve, to get the equipment and people that we need to help continue doing our job.
So are you a mom?
I am.
From the heart, not the heart, the metaphorical heart. Let's put it that way, not the physical heart. Tell the moms out there why it's so important, if they're listening, or in the dads too, why as a parent they should call and make a donation right now.
Well, obviously our children are our biggest treasures. I think most parents feel that way. And when your child has a potential diagnosis that needs treatment and you want the best form of care, you can be part of making that happen.
So we talked about Kelly last time, a different Kelly, Mom Kelly, and her daughter Sophia. And how she went from age, well, I like 18 days when she had the first surgery to now a freshman in college, a theater major, and Dr. Kelly Gajewski got to watch that. You can be a part of that story as well. We're looking for 20 donors. We have 9. We need 11 more. Why don't you become a part of those children? I think we got 43 in the NICU right now. I don't know how many pediatric patients. You could maybe tell me. Do you know how many pediatric?
I actually don't know today.
Okay. But
bursting at the seams, given of my patients had to move locations to make room for extra patients coming in.
And so I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but the point is, you listening right now can become a part of that story, that person's story. And maybe you may not know it, but if you believe in karma, you believe in God, then I think somebody's keeping score on this, and I'll know that by you donating your money to 888-780-8811 or texting Chinola to 51555, you're going to be part of that story, even though you didn't get to see it like Dr. Gajewski did. Thank you for all your work. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. It's the Ray and Jessica Brand Family Foundation Light Up the Season Radiothon from Children's Hospital. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. We're back. It's the Light Up the Season Radiothon. What you're about to hear is going to make you want to donate, so why don't you get ahead of it right now, 888-780-8811. That's a trainsouth.com phone line, or you can text CHNOLA to 51555. Hannah Winburn is here with her daughter, Juliet. Juliet is actually the young lady that banged the gong for us earlier, didn't you? Didn't you? She's nodding her head. Yes, she did. For that $500 donation, Mom Hannah Winburn joins us now. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. I'm good.
I was asking Juliet what she watched on TV, and apparently SpongeBob is too old for her. Then I asked Mom if she watched Bugs Bunny, and apparently Bugs Bunny is too old for her. So they're going to take me to the nursing home as soon as this is over. Let's talk about newborns. When they come to Children's Hospital to surgery, the heart. Now, imagine this, if you will, listening. Their heart is only the size of a walnut. Can you imagine the expertise? What's the matter, babe? You can talk. What is it? What do you want to say?
You can hear it.
You can hear it? Yeah. So can you imagine what it takes to work on a heart that small, the size of a walnut? And then can you imagine being a parent and turning your child over to that surgeon and those gifted hands of those surgeons and entrusting that most precious gift like Juliet is with them? And Hannah, thanks for being here today. How you doing?
I'm good.
You really remember Bugs Bunny?
No.
That's something. Tell me about your experience here at Children's Hospital with the whole story about when Juliet was diagnosed and what happened from that point.
So Juliet was diagnosed while she was still in utero. And then, after that, we just kind of got word of mouth that Children's Hospital was the place to go. And so that's how we ended up here.
So you were pregnant with her and you found out she had a heart condition.
Yes.
And they, as soon as you gave birth, they treated her? What happened? Tell me what happened.
So I gave birth, and they took her to the NICU, and then they transferred her over here to Children's. And then when I was discharged from the hospital, I came over here, and she had her first open-heart surgery at 8 days old.
What's going through your mind at that point? It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to cry. I might cry before this is over, so it's okay. You can tell me.
It was hard. I was a first-time mom. She is the first granddaughter on, my side and her dad's side. So there was just a lot of scary thoughts. She was the first sick kid that we've ever encountered. So, you don't even think that kids can be as sick as they can get until it happens to you.
Did your mind even grasp at that point? Because, I'm a parent. I'm trying to think. In those first days, especially the first hours, having to just trust a surgeon and something that complicated, a procedure on a heart that's small. For parents that are listening right now, that are tempted, thinking about making a call to make the donation or not, explain to them what a difference Children's Hospital made in your life, in your family's life, and obviously in that, the beautiful Juliet there.
The difference is she's been here for 5 years now. Without Children's Hospital, she probably wouldn't be. They've given her a chance at growing up.
What kind of treatment did you get from the staff here at Children's Hospital as a parent?
It was amazing. We always felt welcomed. And, the nurses who know who Juliet was from when she was a newborn, and every time that she was readmitted, they were always just excited to see her come in, even though it was sad. They always liked seeing her and seeing us come in and spending time with us.
And what amazes me so many times is, and this is not the first story that you're going to tell here, but of people that have either been a patient at Children's Hospital or been a parent at Children's Hospital, and as a result have gone on to become involved with Children's Hospital, and that's kind of your story. What's your story?
So after Juliet's second surgery, she was 6 months old. It was 21 hours long, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and we were still waiting for her to come back to her patient room from the OR. And, just the care that we were getting, or that I was getting from her nurse that night, it really inspired me to go on to go to nursing school. And so, I graduated in May, and I started here at Children's Hospital in the NICU, and I love it. And it's such a good feeling to know that, you know, being on both sides, I know what those parents are feeling and how, you know, the difference that I'm making in their life and their child's life is really, it makes me happy.
And as your fellow nurses walk yeah. by just now, y'all light up. Hey, Juliet, now you want to talk? Yes? A little bit? No, she just wants to rub her nose against the microphone. That's okay. I do it sometimes, too. Watch. When it comes to... I lost my train of thought there with rubbing the nose on a microphone. When it comes to you're becoming a nurse here and laughing at you with your fellow nurses and smiling and all that, why is everybody here so happy? Because you deal with some very serious things. But what never ceases to amaze me every year when I'm here is to see the smiles on the face of the staff, and everybody is so happy. Is it because of what you're doing?
I definitely think so. It's just a good feeling to know kids are so resilient. It's not, you know, it's not really as sad as, you know, the world makes it out to be. We have a good time when we're doing what we're doing, and we're taking care of the babies and the kids. And, you know, even though they're sick and might not be feeling good, they still want to play. They still, you know, want love and attention.
I wish you could have seen Hannah's eyes light up just now when you said that the kids want to play, because they really did light up. For moms that are listening right now, just again, a plea for people to call in and make a donation.
Yeah. So Children's Hospital is doing amazing things. They're keeping these kids who, you know, might not have been dealt the best hand. They're giving them a chance at life. They're giving them the ability to go home and do regular kid things.
So. You hate doing this, don't you? Talking on a microphone. You hate it, don't you? I can tell.
Oh, I don't know.
But you're doing a good job. That's okay. No, we appreciate your time, and God bless y'all. And I think it's, again, an instance where because of Juliet's problems and the care the Children's Hospital extended to her, it changed your life, and that you decided to become a nurse. Now you're graduated. You're a nurse in the NICU.
Yes.
You're providing the same care to the kids and the parents that Juliet received and you received as a parent, right?
Yes.
And you're part of that story, and I just want to use that as an example for people that are listening, that they can be part of the story as well, even though you don't see it. And that's been my theme all morning, really. I think some of the best giving that you can do is when you really don't know what the result of it is. You don't necessarily see it happening, right? You drop off a toy for somebody, you don't know who it goes to, but yet you know that you made a difference and you did some good. And that's why I would encourage you to call right now, 888-780-8811 for Juliet. 5 years old, beautiful, had her first surgery at how old, Mom?
8 days.
8 days. Now Hannah's a nurse here in the NICU as a result of that. It's a full circle, man. 888-780-8811. Become part of that circle. Text Chenola, C-H-N-O-L-A, to 51555. I guarantee you, somebody's keeping score somewhere, and it will not be unnoticed. Tommy Tucker, it's the Radiothon for Children's Hospital, presented by the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation. Back in a flash on WWL. All right, we're back. The light of the season Radiothon. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Newell Norman's here as well. He's ready to take over. We have 17 miracle makers. We need three more. Get me over the top here. Come on, y'all. 888-780-8811. It's the Heart Hour. You can text CHNOLA to 51555. We're joined now by Chris Veazey, whose daughter, Annalise, is a heart warrior here at Children's Hospital. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Tommy, thanks. I'm doing fine.
Tell me about your daughter, please, and her story.
Yeah, so Annalise, she was born February 2022, and we learned that early on in her life, you know, first couple months of life, that she had a heart murmur, and a heart murmur led us to, around 3 months old, to go see a local cardiologist in Lafayette. And where that cardiologist, we, you know, monitored it for several months. And right off the bat, he told us that she had what they call SBAS, tubular valve, aortic stenosis, and that he also wanted to run some genetic testing too, that because that condition is typically linked to a syndrome called Williams syndrome. Mm-hmm. And that led us to genetic testing and found out that I always did have Williams syndrome, and that we knew very early on that she would eventually need open heart surgery. We just didn't know when, mm-hmm. depending on her condition with her heart. After several months and up and down roller coasters, being sent all over to different hospitals and seeing surgeons and visiting with all of those doctors, we found out that it was time for open heart surgery April of this year, 2024, which led us to New Orleans with their amazing staff over there to go have an open heart surgery, which was roughly about an 8-hour surgery there in New Orleans.
How old is she now, Chris?
So she'll turn 3 years old in February next year, 2 months, roughly. She'll turn 3 years old.
I can't imagine, my friend, as a father of a 28-year-old, I just can't imagine. I can't wrap my mind around that. Tell me about the care that Children's Hospital provided for you and your wife, her mom.
Oh, it was the care that everybody there was just, it's uncomparable to anything you could ever imagine, of anything we could have ever imagined to receive the whole time we were there at the hospital. I mean, that was probably the hardest and darkest time of our life, me and my wife, Kaylee, our life. So everybody from the janitors to the CEO actually we met and talked to was just the light in our darkest time there in New Orleans. Just nothing but smiles on their faces, finding every way they could make us happy and accommodate us every way they could.
Chris, I'm a dad. Talk dad to dad, if you will, for a dad that's listening right now, thinking about calling, maybe not. What would you tell him?
Pray a lot, listen to your wife, and be the biggest advocate you could be for your child. You know, there's no question that's a stupid question when you're talking to doctors. This is your child's life. If you're like me, I'm nothing. I'm far from the medical field. So I had no idea what a lot of these terms and conditions that doctors are talking about, but I asked every question. So why they chose to use blue ink on their paper and not black or red or whatever, you know, just ask every question you can possibly ask.
That's Thank you, Chris. We're out of time. God bless y'all, man. And look, y'all call that number, 888-780-8811. Make a donation. You're going to be part of Annalise's story. Newell's next. You ready to go?
I am ready.
All right. Well, he is ready. He will be ready in a minute. The Radiothon continues.